My name's Richard Mize, and I am for the jobs. I do work for the railroad, and I'm also born and raised in Spokane here. I believe I'm fifth generation, and all that family has grown into their 80s, and I've got grandchildren here now. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves some questions. What was it like 50, 60 years ago? I'm 56. I remember living in a home that had coal. It was in the basement. I helped my dad shovel it into the stove, help get rid of the clinkets. Guess what? I'm still around here. We had lots of trains around here, Milwaukee, other roads. You know, and we've got less lines, but we are moving traffic. It is good for the import. It's good for the economy, the taxes, the schools, and jobs. I want to see my grandchildren grow up here. I don't want to see them move away. Washington's very important for all of us. But if we ask ourselves, what impact does this have? Ask yourself every time you get on a plane. Ask yourself every time you drive down the highway. What impact does anything have on our health? Let's look for solutions. We're all here looking to better the economy. We're looking to better ourselves. How do you do that? We have to work together, not against each other. You know, and I support all the rail workers that are here. I'm glad they're here helping. And the unions, they're all here knowing that, hey, jobs are important. We get mad when we hear about what unemployment, that many people on that's unemployed in our state. Excuse me. Let's help them out. Thank you.
Number 16, 17, and 18. 16, you're at the podium. 17 and 18 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Steve Hart. I'm a locomotive engineer with BNSF. So I'm one of the guys that personally hauls the coal trains through downtown Spokane. Just for the record, you know, this is a jobs issue is the way I kind of look at it, state of our economy. Just for example, in our pool from Hauser Yard to Pasco, there's 44 engineers and 44 conductors. So that's 88 guys that are hauling the freight through this town. And if you want to back it up all the way back to the Powder River Basin, Cloud Peak Energy is one of the companies we work for. They're one of our customers. Their Spring Creek Mine, there's like 400 guys that work, 400 men and women that work in that mine, mining the coal. And then you basically got about 25 railroad jobs between BNSF and MRL involved to get the train from Montana to Roberts Bank, Canada, where the coal is currently going right now. And then you're looking at another 100 jobs that will probably be created with this new coal port, this new terminal at Cherry Point. So that's 500 plus jobs that are in this pipeline. And we all need to consider that, because that's important. You know, that's what pays the bills for this country. That's where our tax dollars come from. And then the other thing, just for the record, it might change in the future, but in the last 12 hours, we've hauled 4 train loads of coal through Spokane. So it's not like we're talking about a monumental number at this point. It's very minimal to our environment. In 2013, Cloud Peak Energy is looking at shipping 4.5 million tons. And it's primarily going to, I think, a South Korean utility. And at 17,000 tons per train, that's 265 trains a year. So it's not a big number. Thank you. Support the coal port.
17, 18, and 19. Number 17, you're at the podium. 18 and 19 at the table.
My name is Danny Bennett, and I'm also an engineer for BNSF Railroad. And I'm just here to support the coal. I'm here to support the jobs. There's a lot of billboards down here on Trent that say 50, 60 trains a day. Not going to happen. You can only fit so much water through a garden hose. We understand these guys, they work these trains. We work these jobs. There's not going to be 60 coal trains a day. But if there was, that'd be fantastic. They'd be great jobs. And I have 4 kids, and with my family, we haven't been able to learn how to start saving yet. We spend every nickel we make, and it's spent in your businesses, in your jobs, where you work, you earn a living because I'm spending money there. It's just fact. We spend everything we make, and it all goes back into this community, and we need every train we can get, whether it's coal or grain or anything along those lines. Thanks.
Number 18, you're at the podium. 19 and 20 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Matthew Lebsack. I'm local chairman for UTUE 1505 local here in Spokane, Washington, Union Pacific Railroad. I've been an engineer for Union Pacific for 8 years, been employed for Union Pacific for 15 years. This is why I'm here today. My daughter Madeline and our way of life pays my bills, provides medical, health care, mortgage for my wife, myself, my daughter. It's our way of life. Coal's why I go to work. Thank you for your time.
19, 20, and 21. 19, you are at the podium. 20 and 21, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is George McGrath. It's a pleasure to see all of you people here because this is the public input. However, I do think that by trying to eliminate jobs, you are defeating the purpose of what America is all about. We need jobs for our young people. When I moved here 45 years ago, this was one of my first observations. Spokane does not have jobs for its young people. Now, what we're looking at is an ability to have the ranchers. Hey, if you're making a crop of wheat, you can hire people. If you are in the woods, you can drive truck, you can be a log faller. You can be any of a great many different aspects of a good income. If we have the ability to make this transportation available to the type of product, which is expensive, very expensive to ship. However, trains and ships are the two least costly methods of shipping these products, whether it be from the grain fields of Montana, of Idaho, of Washington, whether it be our potatoes out of Moses Lake, whether it be the lentils from Pullman area. These are all products that require a whole lot of space to be able to ship them. And it's got to be inexpensive. We're talking jobs here that are not only the railroad and the people who are running the tracks, we're talking people who are individual, independent producers able to hire people. This is what we need, folks. We don't need somebody saying, oh, you can't use any of our natural resources. Thank you very much.
Okay, we had a lot of people join us, so I'd just like to take a moment to remind everyone of the kind of comments that are most helpful to our agencies as they make their decisions. As you're considering your scoping comment that you're going to make when you come up here, please remember that scoping is designed to gain input on four topics: a reasonable range of alternatives, potentially affected resources and the extent of analyses of those resources, significant unavoidable adverse impacts, and measures to avoid, minimize, and mitigate for the effects of the proposals. If you need any help shaping your comment, we have people, staff at the welcome desk who would be happy to help you. But those are definitely the comments that are going to be most valuable for our agencies as they make decisions. And now I'm going to call numbers 20, 21, and 22. 20, you're at the podium. 21 and 22 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Bob Harmon. I work for BNSF Railway and am an engineer for them. It's jobs, guys. Our economy is really not doing all that great these days. It hasn't for the last 4 years. And these trains would add a lot of jobs to the city and the state and all the way back to where these mines are at. There again, the 60 trains a day is hugely a misstatement. There's no way that our railroad capacity that we have out there can handle it. I run a train to Pasco all the time, and through Spokane, we just won't be able to handle it. Even the 20 or 30 that the other gentleman said would be a large amount to handle. And it's just about jobs. Thank you.
You're at the podium. 22 and 23 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
And my name's Joe Schmidt, and I'm from Bellingham, Washington. As I showed up here this afternoon, I was listening to people when I was standing in line, and it seems this whole impact, or this environmental impact study for the shipping terminal seems to be getting lost in a debate about whether China needs to burn coal or not. And it's just, it's so frustrating. Some of the people didn't even know that there was a shipping terminal that was going to be built, whether it was built already or whether it was going to be built. And I just want to see the scoping process stay on track and not get sidetracked to some international issues. And the trains, whether this terminal is built or not, the trains are going to go through. They're going to Canada right now, and they're going to continue going to Canada. And just the last thing, Washington needs these jobs and the tax revenue that would go with it, with this terminal. Thank you.
22, 23, and 24. 22, you're at the podium. 23 and 24 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Rob Holton. I'm the first vice chairman of the Washington State Legislative Board, Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen. I represent over 700 members of Washington State that have interest in the Gateway Terminal Project. The Washington State Legislative Board is mindful of established procedures and precedent. We expect a thorough environmental review to take place within the scope of the Gateway Terminal Project. There are established procedures under the National Protection Act, the State Environmental Protection Act, and the Washington Department of Ecology's regulatory authority over wetlands for properly evaluating the Gateway Terminal Project. Should the impact along the Custer Rail Spur be considered? Yes, it should. But that's where the scope study should end. Some are suggesting mainline routes from Cherry Point to the Powder River Basin should be studied under the problematic EIS. The Washington State Legislative Board respectfully disagrees with this view. The reason being, most of the mainline routes on the Northern Corridor were established in the 1800s and are governed under interstate commerce law. Over the years, the railroads have made improvements needed to accommodate interstate rail traffic, trying to apply problematic stamp to the existing mainline infrastructure accomplishes nothing other than clogging the courts with frivolous litigation and delaying the sound NEPA-SEPA process already ensures a thorough review. Washingtonians need job opportunities, and they need them now. The Gateway Pacific Terminal Project will create family wage jobs. Please use the NEPA-SEPA processes already in place to evaluate the merits of the Gateway Pacific Terminal Project proposal. And I'd like to thank all my brothers out here today to support this project.
23, 24, and 25. 23, you're at the microphone. 24 and 25, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon. My name is Dylan Eakins. I am the second vice chairman of the Washington State Legislative Board and legislative representative of Local 443 located here in Spokane, representing the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen. Overly broad scoping is damaging to both interstate commerce opportunities and to jobs. Requiring an excessively large scope for environmental review is bad policy that will only slow down the process and hurt much-needed family wage jobs and tax revenue. Washington State's economy depends on international trade and the rail and port transportation systems that supports it. The EIS should study how this new private investment could add to our trade surplus. Rail is a vital resource, and too broad of a scoping study could undermine our ability to compete in an increasingly competitive market. Coal trains should be treated no differently than any other bulk commodity, such as grain or potash. The key is being reasonable in the scope of the EIS. We compete with Canada, Mexico, and the Panama Canal for vital port commerce. We must avoid hamstringing U.S. industry with onerous regulations and unreasonable requirements. Demonizing coal and demonizing our trains will not lower greenhouse gases. Developing countries are still going to buy coal products for their power plants. They will simply buy it from other less efficient sources. We can help workers in America and assist countries overseas by supporting responsible projects at the Gateway Pacific Terminal. Our state needs to demonstrate that it can efficiently and fairly evaluate and permit large projects. Do we welcome new private investments that bring family wage jobs or be overburdened with studies and endless debate? We all need to take notice of our own economic plight, the reality that developing countries are going to use coal products, and the reality that we can be part of a responsible state-of-the-art export facility in Washington State. I respectfully request that the EIS be limited to the site of the facility in question and that the rail scope be limited to the Custer Spur in Whatcom County. Thank you.
Sounds like we might need a little more volume. Yeah. I'll turn it up and we'll also, when you come up, please try to speak really closely to this mic. It's not great. Okay, 24, 25, and 26. Oops, that's not good. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Dan Wilson, president of the United Steelworkers Local 338. We represent more than 5,000 workers here in the Northwest. It's no secret that we've been experiencing record high unemployment rates, so we need jobs now. This project equates to adding much needed good paying jobs here in Washington State. These are jobs which will improve and increase a diminishing tax base. Piling on unnecessary environmental impact reviews will only scuttle our opportunity to put people back to work. Our dependency on international trade here in the state of Washington is not disputed. If we do nothing, good jobs will go to Canada. So I support the Gateway Project.
Excuse me. Please remember to show your agreement with your hands and your disagreement with your thumbs down. Sir, number 25, 26, and 27. 25, you're at the podium. 26 and 27 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Steve Black, and I'm a Spokane resident. Been here for a long time. Anyway, I served my country for 20 years in the military, and I've been 26 years fighting against the domestic enemies that we have, the ones that are pushing NAFTA and CAFTA and things that are taking jobs away from the people in this country. And so I am for jobs. We've got to have jobs. That's one of the things that the congressmen and senators have been screaming and the president has been screaming about. Now we've got an opportunity for jobs for people. And what are we going to do about it? Are we going to get these jobs for people, or are we going to just let the government and the bureaucrats continue to kill this country, kill the people? Anyway, that's about all I got to say about it. We need jobs in this country, and the only way we can get them is by getting them.
26, 27, and 28. 26, you're at the podium. 27 and 28 at the table. As a quick reminder, when you're sitting at the table, please fill out one of these forms. All I need is your name printed so that are legibly, so our court reporter can match your name with your testimony. Please state your name for the record.
Pavidaev, Nahashve, Mistanstut, Nestut Donawise. Hello, my name is Vanessa Braided Hare. I'm a Northern Cheyenne wildland firefighter, and I'm here to represent my tribe. I came 640 miles from the Northern Cheyenne Rez in Montana to say this destruction you call companies call opportunity will devastate my homelands that my ancestors fought and died for. And I will not stand by and let you Army Corps of Engineers further destroy and pollute the water, air, land, and future of the Cheyenne people. I want you Army Corps of Engineers to study the impacts that will be caused by new coal mines that will be built to feed these export terminals. These coal mines will be built on my family's original homestead, and I do not want that. I want you to study the impacts on the Tongue River, our cultural sites, our economy, railroad traffic, our air quality, and our wildlife. I do not want our country to be the sacrificial land for China. Consider alternative energies. Let's go beyond coal and stop the destruction of our Mother Earth. Thank you.
You're listening to a public scoping hearing for an environmental impact statement for a proposed new coal loading facility at Cherry Point, north of Bellingham, Washington. The hearing was recorded at the Spokane County Fairgrounds Tuesday, December 4th, and was put on by the Washington Department of Ecology, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and Whatcom County.
Abel, please state your name for the record.
My name is Darren Vollen. I'm the work of the BNSF Railway, conductor and switchman, also a legislative representative for United Transportation Union 426, and I'm for jobs in Washington State. The Gateway Pacific Terminal project means thousands of family wage jobs to Washington State residents. We're not building another Walmart here to add almost nothing to the economy and the people that work there. These will be well-paying jobs with benefits to help the unemployed and underemployed obtain the American dream of home ownership and being able to send their children to college. This is not only jobs in Whatcom County, but jobs throughout the state, including the Inland Northwest. Our state's economy depends heavily on international trade. This facility is not built in Washington State. There's a chance that our neighbors to the north in Canada will get all these jobs and the benefit from the economic impact, such as a facility such thus Washington State citizens losing out on jobs and the huge tax base that these jobs bring. A tax base that would bring better schools, safer roads, better police and fire protection to those communities that so desperately need these things. I ask the environmental impact statement take into consideration the economic benefit that the Gateway Pacific Terminal project would bring to the state. To the opponents of this project, please remember the Gateway Pacific Terminal project not only will ship coal, but grains and other dry bulk commodities to our Asian trade partners. This will help farmers in our region with an effective and efficient way to ship their goods to those countries, bringing even more local jobs. Also to those in the Spokane area, I pledge the United Transportation Union will do everything it can to get the railroads, local, state, and federal governments to revisit the Bridging the Valley project. We strongly support the Bridging the Valley so our trains can run safely and efficiently through our city.
And before I call the next number, I'd like to introduce Grant Pfeiffer, who's replaced Alice Kelly for the Washington State Department of Ecology. And now I'm going to call up number 28. 28, you're at the podium. 29 and 30, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
Yes, my name is Ron Black. I've only been a resident of Spokane County for 60 plus years. And what I'm asking for is jobs. Because if those people don't get jobs, we'll be paying their welfare and their unemployment. And with people working, they pay taxes, and that's what we need, is an economy that's moving. I have a respiratory problem, but I'm not worried about the dust, the coal dust. So, thank you.
29, 30, and 31. 29, you're at the podium. 30 and 31, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
Ozzie Knezovich, Sheriff of Spokane County. I'm here to talk about some of the issues that I've heard in the community, one being the public safety issue. In reference to the coal traffic, this coal traffic will bring us up to 2006 levels, back up to 2006 levels. That's a fact that I have gleaned in the research. The next thing that I have asked is, I asked all the public safety leaders, the fire chiefs that are going to have to respond to any hazmat issues, about the public safety impact of these trains on Spokane County. All of them report they see no negative impact on Spokane County. That's another fact that we have developed. I think it's important when we talk about these issues that we deal with the facts of the matter and not emotions, because I've read in the paper recently about the negative impacts, and I really want these decisions that face our community to be based on fact, not emotion. Another thing that I'll share is, I'm from coal country. My grandfather and my great-grandfather, or my great-grandfather, my grandfather, and my father were coal miners. I lived around these coal trains all my life. They now spray them with the lacquer that keeps coal dust down, and even before then, the coal dust was very negligible. So this is a discussion that the community has to have, but let's make sure it's based on fact, not emotion.
30, 31, and 32. 30, you're at the podium. 31 and 32 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Gabe Hinkle. I'm a proud union member and a locomotive engineer for BNSF. I'm here to support jobs. I'm concerned about the amount of misinformation proposed by the groups like the Sierra Club. To be honest with you, 60 trains a day is a joke. It cannot happen. You want to talk about coal dust? Go out here in January after it hasn't snowed for 3 weeks alongside the railroad track, and I'll tell you what, you won't see any coal dust on that snow. And also something else I've noticed is when it comes to this whole process, there's been one group that has broken the ground rules. Thank you.
31, 32, and 33. 31, you're at the podium. 32 and 33, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
Hi there. My name is Corey Hayes. I was born in Spokane. I live here. I work in the mining industry. The mining industry provides some of the highest paying living wage jobs available in this country. Contrary to popular belief, we don't want to pollute the water or pollute the air. We're much better at mining than we ever have been in the past. These jobs are important. This is a natural resource that we can and most likely will either use ourselves or export. The Chinese, or whoever we're exporting to, are going to burn coal. There's nothing anybody here can do about that. They may as well burn high-quality, low-sulfur Powder River Basin coal and give us some possible influence over what they're doing. Right now, we have none. So please think about the facts. The facts are there's recently been studies done within the last year and a half, 2 years. Coal dust is negligible, very, very difficult to even find. It's not an issue, it's a talking point, but it really doesn't exist. So thank you for the time, and thank you for hearing me.
32, 33, and 34. 32, you're at the podium. 33 and 34 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is David Baldridge. I'm a local chiropractor here in Spokane Valley. My big concern is the economy. People don't have jobs. People don't have work. And this is going to provide work, maybe not all here, but the state needs jobs. The state needs money. And the numbers I've seen were over $1.8 billion in the next 10 years. A lot of that money is going to go to Olympia and support all the social programs you guys love so much. I imagine most of you think of yourselves as progressives. I don't know why you're against progress. It doesn't make any sense. Well, you could put your thumbs down all you want, but it doesn't make any sense. You know? I mean, the sheriff was up here. There's no problem with the emergency response. You've coal engineers have you know, people who ride on the trains have spoken about it, and they say there's no problem. You people continue to have your heads in the sand. You don't want to listen to facts. Your mind's made up. And I guess that's your right. You know, I'm pretty sure that if the automobile had been invented last week, you guys would be here protesting it.
Thirty-three, you're at the microphone. 34 and 35, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
Hello, my name is Donald Newton, past president of the UTU Local 1505 and conductor for the Union Pacific Railroad. I got up pretty early this morning, about 1:30, to catch a 3:30 train, so this might not go real well. But the train I was on was a key train today. And I guarantee you, it's a lot more dangerous than these coal trains will ever be. I'm in favor of a site-specific study. Any more is just a waste of money, time, and resources. Just in case people have forgotten, our federal government and Washington state government are both in deep debt. Some of you think 20 or 30 separate studies will produce different results. Doing things over and over again, expecting different results, in my opinion, is the definition of insanity. I support the Gateway Project and Northwest Jobs.
Woo! 34, 35, and 36. Quick reminder, please use your signs in your hands, not your voices. 35, you're at the microphone. I'm sorry, 34, you're at the microphone. 35 and 36, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Daryl Dury, and I live in the Spokane Valley here. And I was raised in Spokane. I was born in Spokane. And I'd just like to say that for the last 130 years, drains have been coming through here, and I have never heard of coal dust being a problem or anybody getting black lung disease in Spokane. Most of the old houses in Spokane had coal-burning stoves in the basements of the houses, and there's no reason why we can't produce jobs and protect the environment at the same time. You're saying the people that want to say that they can't, we can't do this because of the environment, well, that's saying in the last 130 years, we haven't gained any intelligence to be able to protect the environment. So that's a non-issue. And I'm here to support my kids and my grandkids so that they will have jobs, so they'll be able to have a family here and be able to help support everybody else that's here. I don't want to start getting government checks that bounce when they get to the bank.
35, 36, and 37. 35, you're at the podium. 36 and 37, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
Hello, my name is Dave White. I want to address two issues on this subject. The first is the health issue. My grandparents lived in upstate New York. They used coal for their source of heat their entire lives, lived well into their 80s. I've been here in Spokane since 1967 at the age of 14. In my early 20s, I had a small store in Cheney. That little store was 50 yards from the railroad tracks where coal trains came through every day. And like the gentleman had said earlier, you can look at those tracks when there's snow on the ground and it was pure white, there was no dust. I had my store there for 3 years. I didn't suffer any ill effects. As a matter of fact, we sold a health food there, and I had a gentleman from the railroad that used to be one of the people in the caboose. They heated their caboose with coal, and they had a little pile of coal right next to the railroad tracks. He liked a particular variety of nuts that we had. There's some cashews, and he'd come over with a 3-gallon bucket of coal to trade me for a couple of pounds of cashews. And that was how I heated my store out there. There was no problem with the health. I've watched the trains come by. I never saw dust even in the strongest winds. Now, there's a number of people out here who I see that are elderly. I just ran for state office in the 3rd District. It's one of the poorest districts in the state, if not the poorest. And I see a number of seniors out here. One of the things I heard the most is we need more benefits to seniors, we need complete streets, we need sidewalks, a number of things that I was talked to about needs. And the way you get these items is taxpayers, and the way you get taxpayers is jobs. We need this project. Thank you.
36, 37, and 38. 36, you're at the podium. 37 and 38, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is former Senator Jeff Baxter. I'd just like to make a few points here that were already talked about. Sheriff Ozzie Konezovich pointed out there's going to be no problem as far as ambulance, law enforcement, fire. And so that's an issue that can be taken off the board. It's going to go back, as he said, to 2006. And that's an issue that we need to face the facts on that's not going to affect us as a community. The other thing is I believe in free market as far as creating jobs. Jobs are very important. Here we are complaining that we don't have enough jobs in our county, which is true. We're one of the higher unemployment counties in the state of Washington. And we need jobs, we need the free market to work, we need to put families back to work, and that's part of what this is about. As far as the safety, as far as the coal is concerned, I understand your issues, but they're a moot point. due to the tarps and the sprinkler systems that are equipped on the trains to protect the dust, that's not going to be an issue that we're going to need to face with if you look at the facts. So again, this is about jobs, about the free market at work, and it about advancing this issue forward for the betterment of our community. Thank you.
37, 38, and 39. 37, you're at the podium. 38 and 39 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
Dan Meckel, Cheney, Washington. I was born in Spokane, Washington. Spokane's always been short of jobs. Jobs, jobs, jobs. That's what we're really here to talk about today. June 25th, 1881, Northern Pacific Railroad arrives in Spokane, Washington. Spokane Incorporated, November 29th, 1881, just 10 years after the founding. Railroads have built Spokane. Choice. Everyone has a choice if they want to live in Spokane. We choose where we live. The railroads were here before we were here. When I grew up, as the last speaker said, many of the homes were heated by coal. In fact, Spokane was heated by coal. The steam plant downtown was fired by coal. We had a coal plant out at Fairchild Air Force Base, and that run a steam plant that run the whole Air Force Base. Do you think we've ever had coal in this town before? They used to dump coal in the basements. That dust was in the house. It is probably 1,000 times more than we're going to have now. When I was 21, the Northern Pacific gave me a job. I worked there for 11 years. We have a negative trade balance in this country. Exports are not going out, but we're getting imports. Right now, we want to export this business to Canada versus the United States. That's where it's going to go if we don't have it here. The trains are still going to run. The coal is still going to be there. Average income in Canada is $80,000. Average income in the United States is $50,000. We have an 8% unemployment. I vote we keep the jobs in Washington. I vote that we pass this through. Insanity. Keep doing what we've been doing.
38, 39, and 40. 38, you're at the podium. 39 and 40, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Lash Ashmore. I'm from Sealy Lake, Montana. A number of individuals who have spoken here prior to myself have said that they wanted to have this environmental impact statement solely for the terminal. And a lot of people said we need to deal in facts. Here's a fact. Without Montana coal, there is no terminal. And the only way for that coal to get to the terminal is by train through Montana and Idaho. My understanding is that by law, an EIS can consider interdependent systems that transcend geographical boundaries. Since that is unequivocally the case in this instance, I ask that this scoping be brought to Montanans so that it can assess the impact on ground and surface water systems at the mining sites and the transportation corridors, assess the impact on air quality and human health, assess the impact of increased noise, and assess the economic cost to Montana communities and taxpayers. A lot of people have tried to frame this issue between jobs and the environment. All jobs are not created equal. And we do not have to go very far back in time or very far in distance to get an excellent example of that. Libby, Montana, just across the panhandle. W.R. Grace came in and promised people well-paying jobs. The environmentalists brought up some issues against it. They were booed out of the community. Most of those Montanans that worked in that asbestos mine for W.R. Grace now are dead. We do need jobs. I don't argue that. But coal jobs are not the jobs we need. Thank you.
Just
You're listening to a public scoping hearing for an environmental impact statement for a proposed new coal loading facility at Cherry Point, north of Bellingham, Washington. The hearing was recorded at the Spokane County Fairgrounds Tuesday, December 4th, and was put on by the Washington Department of Ecology, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and Whatcom County.
Programming on KRFP is made possible in part by support from KRFP members and Hyperspud Sports, specializing in equipment for outdoor adventures. Hyperspud Sports is located at 402 South Main Street in Moscow. For more information, call 208-883-1150 or visit hyperspud.com.
KRFP is also supported by
John's Alley Tavern, Moscow's home of live music. John's Alley is located at 114 East 6th Street in downtown Moscow.
You are listening to KRFP Moscow, 92.5 FM.
Please state your name for the record.
Ressa Charter. I'm the chairman of the Northern Plains Resource Council Ag Task Force, and we came on a bus from Billings, Montana. At 4 a.m., left 4 a.m. this morning. We thought if you'd come this far from the coast, that the Corps will hear our concerns and be open to the idea of doing a cumulative and programmatic EIS. I'd like to thank our union friends for pointing out the theoretical impossibility of 60 trains a day, or that you can only get so much water through a garden hose, which the Western Organization of Resource Councils report heavy traffic ahead points directly to this fact, and that essentially it'll either be this 150 million tons of Powder River coal a year or Montana, Idaho, Eastern Washington grain. And that is the reality. I agree that it's impossible, but is what these the powers behind this port are talking about, they aren't kidding about mining that coal, and there's nowhere to burn it here. So is that, to me, that points to the need for a cumulative EIS all the way back to the Powder River Basin to avoid that unavoidable adverse impact on the descendants of those grain farmers for whom, in whose name, the railroads were built. And that applies to ag and timber goods and hard goods. You know, I speak with, in solidarity with my grain farming friends, but I look forward to a future in Eastern Washington, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, where we take back our meat industry, and finish and cut it in the West and ship it in intermodal containers right through the great system here in Spokane. And I just think those goods are more valuable to a long-term livelihoods over immediate term jobs. Is that coal experts make a lie. Thanks.
40, 41, and 42. 40, you're at the podium. 41 and 42 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Alyssa Kraft, and this is my son, Celilo. And we came here today to completely oppose this project from mine to terminal and all the way through. There's so many reasons why, but what I really want to touch on is the fact that pro-terminal folks have been saying, this coal dust, you can't see it, so it's not there. Not true at all. That is actually why it's called particulate matter. You can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it. It's just like at home when you run a wood stove and you have a film of dust. Where did it come from? You can't see it build up. There have been numerous studies done by the American Lung Association, the EPA. The list is infinite of the studies done on why coal dust is dangerous to the health of our citizens. And actually, I wanted to point out, too, that Burlington Northern themselves, if you go to their website, they have very extensive research that shows that they do lose, as they quote, 1 ton plus 500 pounds of coal in transit. That's what Burlington Northern says. That's not what the environmentalists are saying. They also they admit the fact that they will be increasing the diesel particulate matter by 4 times because these coal trains are so long. And they also state that they have had coal train derailments due to the buildup of coal on their tracks. That's them saying it. That is not us. So the evidence is there. It points all in the direction that this is a terrible idea. And on a note of a couple of speakers ago, these jobs, I understand that everybody needs jobs, but these are short-sighted. The coal is going to run out. The oil is going to run out. Someday it's going to be gone. And the only jobs that my son and future generations are going to have is to clean up the mess that we've made for them. Thank you.
Forty-one, forty-two, and forty-three. Forty-one, you're at the podium. 42 and 43, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Christina Prozac. I'm the Environmental Review Coordinator for the Yakima Nation. I've been asked to deliver these comments on behalf of the Yakima Tribal Council. As previously requested, the Yakima Nation continues to ask the federal government to conduct a comprehensive region-wide analysis of the coal export proposals in the Northwest. In addition, and prior to completing project-specific EISs for each proposed terminal, all coal that would be exported through terminals in Washington and Oregon would first be transported through the ceded lands and usual and accustomed use areas of the Yakima Nation, including those trains heading for the proposed Gateway Pacific Terminal at Cherry Point. It is also our understanding that the return trains from the Cherry Point Terminal will also pass through the Yakima Reservation. We ask that the scope of the Cherry Point EIS includes an evaluation of all potential impacts to public health, safety, the environment, and treaty reserved resources from the coal's origins in the Powder River Basin through our homelands to Asia and back, as the effects of this proposal are not limited to the state of Washington and do not recognize the political boundaries that have been created. It is imperative that this EIS includes, but is not limited to, an evaluation of the additional fatalities among our members attempting to fish at their usual and accustomed places that would most certainly result from increased rail traffic through the Columbia River Gorge, the amounts and effects of coal dust that may be deposited upon our lands and our waters, the likelihood and frequency of coal train derailments and their effects, the toxic emissions from transporting the coal and burning it in Asia, as our effects, as we have seen already in the Columbia River Gorge, this area is already known to have some of the worst air quality and acid rain in the Northwest. The Yakima Nation also requests that you hold public hearings in central Washington from the Columbia River north, where tribal members and others who stand to be affected by this proposal also deserve the opportunity to be informed and engaged in this process. Thank you.
Forty-two, forty-three, and forty-four. Forty-two, you're at the podium. 43 and 44, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
I'm Art Dolman, and I live in Great Falls, Montana, and I represent the Citizens for Clean Energy, and we have a membership of more than 2,000 donors. First of all, I would like to address the issue that the terminal on the West Coast is not an isolated issue. It is part of an industry, and it starts with the coal mines up along the Tongue River. That is one point, and they have modern equipment to operate those mines. Then there is second is the railroad, and so it is tied together into three issues: the terminal, the railroad, and a coal mine. And we in Montana, for that reason, would like to be included in the EIS and the scoping process. And this is very important for us. And I live in a small town of about 60,000 people, and it's called as Great Falls. The train comes right through our city. Street lights go on, and they have to stop, and the train has to cross the Missouri River when it enters the rail yard. And it is on this bridge that the train, when it wants to make shift switches their train loads and so on in the rail yard, they have to back up and go back across the river for the tail end, and then they can switch on the different switches. And so last October, we've had an accident because an empty train of 150 cars backed up and they derailed, meaning that the railroad between Laurel, Montana and Shelby, Montana to hit the Great Northern Railway going into Spokane. It's an antiquated railroad and it needs to be replaced.
43, 44, and 45. 43, you're at the podium. 44 and 45 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Harold Hoem. I live in Missoula, Montana, on one of the major rail routes midway between eastern Montana coal mines and Bellingham. I'm here to discuss the significant unavoidable adverse impacts surrounding the proposed projects, which should be a part of a cumulative EIS. First, I don't understand how Montana can be excluded from this scoping process. We experience the same impacts as Spokane and the rest of the inland Northwest. Everyone along the rail corridors is important, and concern should focus on the entire system, from the mines to the smokestacks in Asia. The big local questions are, what is it like now, and what would it be with double or triple rail traffic? A survey of present conditions and past adverse incidents and impacts throughout the entire system is needed. Railroads have said they could handle some increased traffic, but how much without major overhaul of the rail system? And who pays for that? Emergency vehicles could be delayed and traffic tie-ups are frequent. That's what happens in my town. The railroad runs through low-income neighborhoods that unfairly bear the brunt of health impacts due to diesel fumes and high decibel noise. We must consider larger implications to land, ocean, air, water, and climate. Changes are accelerating alarmingly and can only be exacerbated by more coal burning in Asia. In Montana, we only need to look outside our windows to see the beetle-killed trees, the droughts, the floods, the wildfires and extreme weather events associated with those changes. The Defense Department has already recognized that climate change is one of the most serious threats to our national security. We owe it to our children to develop incentives to achieve responsible technology to capture and permanently sequester CO2 and show a moral leadership in this regard.
44, 45, and 46. 44, you're at the podium. 45 and 46 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
I am Ray Wilms. I reside in Missoula, Montana. I strongly think that your EIS of the Gateway Terminal proposal should include an analysis of the environmental impacts along the rail route to be exported to include Montana and Idaho. I will focus on a couple of what I consider unavoidable adverse impacts of the proposal. Many of us here today live on the proposed route of the coal trains. The proposal will result in a volume of coal traffic that will be several times that which exists presently. I'm a part of a group of seniors that has been studying the use and export of coal for some time. We have learned about probable negative health impacts of coal shipments, perhaps most importantly, of diesel exhaust when trains pass through or idle in places like Missoula. One of our sources, a pediatric pulmonologist, is very concerned about what he thinks is the asthma epidemic in the United States. You should carefully consider the potential increase in illnesses and medical costs, particularly for those impacted, such as children and seniors with respiratory problems. There are other impacts along the route, such as increased noise pollution, road crossing times, and traffic safety. We think there should be mitigation measures analyzed also, such as funding for those medically affected. Cost of all mitigation measures should be borne by those who will be profiting from the export of coal and not the citizens of the states through which the coal passes. Thank you.
I'm just going to take a moment to see if we can improve our sound from this mic up here. I've heard it might be a little bit quiet in the back, so just a moment. Hello? Is that better?
Is that better?
Is that better?
Okay.
So, number 45, 46, and 47. 45, you're at the podium. 46 and 47 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Jan Holm of Missoula, Montana. City, county health departments, and city councils in Montana have requested a cumulative EIS. Here are 2 points to mitigate the effects of port approval should it tragically go through. First, negotiate before the corporations have what they want. These businesses will make expensive concessions to get the ports. In the inland Northwest, mitigation should include dust suppression, double arms on both sides of on-grade crossings, overpasses, cleanest technology and idling systems for trains, rail yards moved outside EPA-designated air stagnation zones where they exist. Once corporations have the ports, they'll do nothing to help us. Second, require that the receiving countries do what is necessary to control carbon dioxide. I read from a document from the American Coalition for Clean Coal Electricity, a coal company lobbying group whose mission includes, quote, to promote the deployment to other nations of advanced U.S. development technologies. Federal legislation should require the Department of State to carry out international technology transfer toward key countries and specific technologies to avoid, reduce, capture, transport, and safely store carbon dioxide, unquote. The State Department should ensure that coal is not shipped until the receiving country will use the most advanced technologies to deal safely with carbon dioxide. That technology does not currently exist. Your decision is capable of promoting coal use for 30 years, which is the wrong stance for this nation. Asia's pollutants arrive in North America in 7 to 10 days.
Before I call the next number, I'd like to introduce Tim Urkel with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, replacing Randall Perry. And now I'm going to call number 46, 47, and 48. 46, you're at the podium. 47 and 48, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
Good evening. My name is Shannon Williamson, and I'm the executive director of Lake Pendre Waterkeeper, which is located in Sandpoint, Idaho. Lake Pendre Waterkeeper is a nonprofit environmental organization dedicated to protecting the quality of water resources in North Idaho. In addition to testifying today in a professional capacity, I am also here as a concerned resident of Sandpoint, which is located in Bonner County. Sandpoint is located directly along the rail route by which coal will be transported from the Powder River Basin to export facilities along the coast, including the proposed Gateway Pacific Terminal. Sandpoint is termed the funnel since all rail lines converge here, making the impacts from coal transport unavoidable. Our community could witness as many as 60 coal trains, additional coal trains per day, and this is already on top of the 60 trains that we already witness every day through the community, if the 5 proposals, including this one, are approved. While I'm seriously concerned about all the potential impacts of increased coal train traffic on our community, including those to human health and safety, as well as the local economy, I am here today to specifically ask you to measure the impacts of increased coal transport on water quality. The preferred rail route for coal transport through North Idaho hugs approximately 30 miles of shoreline along Lake Pendre and directly crosses over it on its way to Spokane. I am concerned that chronic coal dust deposition or a potential derailment will irreversibly impact the water quality of this spectacular lake. Lake Pendre is one of the last near-pristine waterways in the Northwest and is heavily depended on by locals and tourists alike as a prime recreational resource. More importantly, it also serves as a source of clean drinking water for thousands. When assessing the environmental risks of the current proposal, I strongly urge you to determine to the best of your ability the amount and the composition of the pollutants that could enter the lake from coal dust deposition or a derailment, either directly based on the coal trains that are passing through the community right now or some kind of informed model based on reliable data. It is imperative that the risks to water quality are quantified before a dramatic increase in coal train traffic ensues in order to understand how our water quality standards will be impacted. Lake Pendre Waterkeeper advocates for the right to clean water. Everyone deserves this.
I'd like to just briefly introduce Tom Mueller, who's representing Whatcom County.
You're listening to a public scoping hearing for an environmental impact statement for a proposed new coal loading facility at Cherry Point, north of Bellingham, Washington. The hearing was recorded at the Spokane County Fairgrounds Tuesday, December 4th, and was put on by the Washington Department of Ecology, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and Whatcom County. The three entities are putting on another hearing on the coal loading facility in Seattle Thursday, December 13th at the Washington State Convention Center downtown in Ballroom 6F.
My name is Twila Abrahamson. I'm a member of the Spokane Tribe, also the Coeur d'Alene, Navajo, and Colville, and we are representing people that were here before the railroads. Please accept these comments on behalf of the Spokane Tribe of Indians. Back in September of this year, the Spokane Tribe, along with many others at the Affiliated Tribes of the Northwest Indian Conference in Pendleton, Oregon, voted for and passed a resolution calling for a full, transparent environmental review of the Portamoro proposal, consultations and review of all six Northwest coal export proposals. Today I'm here to state that at this time, given the information now available, the Spokane Tribe of Indians opposes any and all proposals for coal export terminals in the Northwest. The tribe has long opposed the use of coal to generate electricity because of its harmful effects on human health and air quality. In 1983, the Spokane Tribe designated its reservation air quality as Class 1 under the Clean Air Act. This designation helped block a proposed coal-fired power plant in Creston, Washington. At the time, the tribe's primary concern was air quality. Today, the tribe understands that the transportation of coal and the eventual burning of it for electricity, regardless of its location on this planet, can cause grave harm to the natural systems of our homeland far beyond just air quality. The tribe's ancestral lands cover the entire rail line that the proposed coal terminal will utilize as it enters Washington from Idaho until the rail line heads southwest out of Ritzville. Prior to being killed and forced from this land by the United States government, leading to the creation of the tribe's reservation in 1877, the Spokane Tribe lived and thrived along the banks of the Spokane River from what is now the Idaho border all the way to the Columbia River. Our members survived on the abundant salmon that thrived in these area waters. Today, our members still utilize the water, fish, and terrestrial resources that exist within their reservation and throughout their ancestral lands.
48, 49, and 50. 48, you're at the podium. 49 and 50 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Kelsey Brasseur, and I'm the program director for Lake Pendere Waterkeeper. I'm speaking today to represent Bonner County, Idaho, and specifically the community of Sandpoint, a city of 7,000 residents located on the shores of Lake Pendere. Sandpoint is situated along the preferred rail transport route for coal mined in the Powder River Basin and destined for the West Coast. Proposals for additional coal export facilities, such as the Gateway Pacific Terminal at Cherry Point, have a combined annual volume projected at 155 metric tons of highly frackable coal. The bulk of this volume would be transported through our community in open rail cars. Though we are not affected by the operations of the export terminals themselves, we would be significantly impacted by the cumulative and unavoidable increase in rail traffic needed to transport such quantities of coal to these facilities. Proposals for these facilities are approved. Sandpoint could witness a cumulative increase in coal traffic up to 60 additional trains per day, on top of the 60 trains a day that currently converge in the funnel of our rail systems. It is already known that coal dust deposition, diesel particulate pollution, and train derailment are real threats associated with the transport of coal in uncovered rail cars. I respectfully request that the co-lead agencies consider the potential for significant increases in pollution to Lake Pendere and its ecosystems due to these impending increases in coal transport, and ask that the agencies develop a strategy to evaluate and mitigate the extent of this pollution while preparing a programmatic environmental impact statement. Lake Pendere shares more than 30 miles of shoreline with the preferred rail route carrying coal exports to the proposed West Coast facilities. I request that the co-lead agencies develop a strategy to evaluate the likelihood of a shoreline derailment event along Lake Pendere, and that they develop a mitigation plan to address the significant impacts to water quality and aquatic ecosystem health that would be caused by such an event. Due to the high volume of rail traffic anticipated with these proposals, a coal train derailment event seems inevitable. I feel strongly that a dremalant event along the shoreline would impose significant adverse impacts on the integrity of this water body and should be addressed by the participating agencies in a programmatic environmental impact statement.
49, 50, and 51. 49, you're at the podium. 50 and 51, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
David W. Billsland. I live one block from the railroad track, downtown Spokane. Downtown Spokane is in a geologic bowl. All of the pollution from the valleys comes down into that area. So do all the trains. And you're talking about doubling the number of trains coming through my downtown? You're going to try and pollute my area more? No, I don't think so. We do not need more trains. We need to cut down the number, as a matter of fact. I would also like to mention that while I was in line, I saw 8 people with green shirts come ahead of me. Thank you very much.
50, 51, and 52. 50, you're at the microphone. 51 and 52, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Lowell Chandler. I'm from Missoula, Montana. First, I want to say that I'm insulted. Not deeming this project as a programmatic environmental impact statement or even having scoping hearings in Montana makes me question your understanding of coal exports and geography for that matter. Like I mentioned, I'm from Missoula, Montana. I live near downtown, which also happens to be where the rail yard is, 2 locomotive fueling stations, and a locomotive maintenance center, right in the middle of town. Very frequently, I'm forced to breathe diesel exhaust so thick that I can taste the diesel toxins as they drip down my nasal passage. I can no longer leave my windows open at night to naturally air condition my house during the summer months for fear that I will be deliberately exposing myself and my loved ones to toxic diesel exhaust. I worry about my baby nieces breathing the air that I breathe when they visit me. An increase in coal trains will only further exacerbate the diesel pollution in my neighborhood. Missoula's air quality is already in violation of EPA standards. On top of diesel, empty coal trains do their maintenance checks in town. They bang and couple day and night, making noise levels of up to 119 decibels. It shakes my newly built apartment and wakes me at night. My neighbors that live in older homes tell me they can no longer put pictures on their walls. One of my neighbors has a friend that has PTSD and can no longer visit him because the empty aluminum cars banging together resonate as bombs. I think this is something you must investigate. Coal dust is also a huge concern as well. The empty coal cars have holes in the bottom of them in order to provide for ventilation. My outdoor furniture and railings are covered in dark sediment, and when you put your hand down, it'll come up black. Here's a picture that I want to leave with you guys of a Montana Rail Link track broom cleaning the rail yard of what looks like coal dust. I'm already severely impacted by the current train traffic. Allowing the Gateway Pacific Terminal to be built would make my air quality and my quality of life worse. I ask you to please conduct a programmatic environmental impact statement and deny the permit.
Should I tell you this behind?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, you can give me that. Okay, a couple of quick announcements before I call the next speaker. We're doing really well on time, and I think there's a possibility I will be able to take additional comments at the end of this meeting. So if you are not able to get a numbered card and you're interested in getting an opportunity to speak up here, please go to the welcome desk where they're forming a single file line, and they'll be handing out some additional comment cards. Also, if you have any mobility challenges and are unable to come up the stairs, just let me know. I'll be happy to bring the wireless mic to you. And now I'm going to call number 51 at the podium, 52 and 53 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is John Snyder, Spokane City Council. My very first words were choo-choo. I love trains and appreciate all they do for our economy. But my love of trains takes a back seat to the citizens I represent at the City of Spokane and also on the Regional Health District. Both of these bodies voted overwhelmingly for a broad EIS to find out what the impacts are for Spokane County on the impacts of coal trains. Why? Because our citizens have questions. They want to know what will be the effect on commercial traffic in cities like Spokane, Spokane Valley, Millwood, and Cheney. They want to know how many trains will actually be coming through. They want to know what the health impacts are on children living near the tracks. They want to know, are we in fact subsidizing coal for export? Are we in fact, as Americans, providing cheap energy for Asia at the cost of our citizens? I also want to know about the resources. Emergency service delivery is one of our most important resources. At the city of Spokane, we're losing 100 jobs next year, most of them public safety. I will have to spread those people farther than they've ever been spread before. How will increased gate time impact our emergency service delivery? And what about our transportation capacity? I have served on the Regional Transportation Council. We do not have the information to find out about how gate time will impact our plans for the future. Will we have to throw out our entire 2040 plan because we don't know exactly what it's going to do to local transportation? Will we no longer be able to get grain to market from the Palouse? I was here in 1991 when a massive train derailment was occurring over Latah Creek. What are the chances of that happening again with a coal train? Choo-choo is a great first word, but it shouldn't be the last word on the health of our community. I appreciate you coming to Spokane, and I thank you for your hard work in deliberating on this subject.
Okay, just a reminder, please show your enthusiasm and support with your hands and your signs, not your voices or your applause. 52, you're at the podium, 53 and 54 at the table. Let's bring that down. Can you reach that? How's that? Does that work? Okay. Please state your name for the record.
Hello, my name is Olive Lewis, and I am a fourth grader at Roosevelt Elementary. I live just four blocks away from the railroad tracks that will carry this coal. I come from a family that has several railroad employees, including my papa. My papa is concerned about me breathing in the diesel fumes along with the risk of a spill from the hazardous cargo. I am here because I want to play in the World Cup someday. Soccer is my life, and I've already seen a doctor about my lungs. On days of poor air quality, I cannot practice or play outside. I understand the need for jobs, but they need to be the right jobs. My neighborhood is full of kids breathing the same air, and our future cannot be sacrificed for short-term gain. I researched some studies on the potential impact on the air and general pollution to ship this coal to China. And I want to ask, is this the best that we can do, or are we capable of something greater?
Okay, I'm going to let that one go. Please let that be the only time. Yes, she did. 53, 54, and 55. 53, you're at the microphone. 54 and 55 at the table. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Marie Shepherd, and I'm a small business owner in Cheney, Washington. I'm a CPA, and I work closely with small businesses. And actually, my living depends on people who have jobs and people, small businesses who are successful. So, of course, I want the economy to be successful. Also, I live right across a railroad track. I live right opposite the rodeo ground in Cheney, and I would not be here today if it was not for an incident that happened 4 or 5 years ago. For me, trains were like, something fun and whimsical. Trains is something you travel in and you just see the countryside. However, what happened 4 or 5 years ago, and I lived right across the railroad track, which was 200 yards from my home. And then one day, one train decided to park right there, and right at the Thanksgiving weekend on Wednesday evening, and it stayed there the whole night. So I was like, gosh, was I waiting for morning for this train to go? Because there was the rumbling and the fumes. It just kept running all night, and the diesel fumes were just coming to our home. But the next day, the train did not go. The train stayed running all day. So that was Thursday on Thanksgiving. Then, by that time, Thursday evening, I'm like, okay, what can I do about this train? and it stayed there all night again. And then Friday morning we woke up and the diesel fumes were way worse. And by that time I was calling the police. Am I done?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I got 5 minutes to go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
54, 55, and 56. 54, you're at the microphone. 55 and 56, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. My name is Steve Holt. I'm executive director of the Eureka Institute. I run summer youth programs up in what Rand McNally just voted the most beautiful town in America, Sandpoint. I hope it stays that way. I'm also president of the board for the Lake Pendere Waterkeeper, and our mission is to see that the tributaries in the lake stay drinkable, swimmable, and fishable. I believe that since this project affects all of us, from the mine to the port, that we should all be considered. And therefore, I would request the scope of this EIS involve the entire project. Specifically, I'd like the project to, or the EIS to address derailments. Burlington Northern and Union Pacific between January and September had 730 derailments and traffic-related accidents totaling $130 million worth of economic loss. We have 30 miles of rail along the shores of Lake Pendere and four crossings over the water itself that account for about 2 miles. We've had two derailments in the last year, and I would like this EIS to help us understand what the effects of a derailment would be over Lake Pendere. Second, the dust. I've heard everything from zero dust to Burlington Northern saying that there's 1 pound per car per mile, which for us would equate to 5 tons per day on the 30-mile stretch around Lake Pendere. Now, even if it's half of that, 2.5 tons per day over a year's period of time, that's a significant amount of dust, and I'd like to understand better, you know, what the effects of that could be on human health. Diesel particulate. I don't know how to measure that, but I've heard there's 4 times as much. That is really tough.
Thank you. 55, 56.
Support jobs, renewable energy.
55, 56, and 57. I'm going to give my little spiel again. Please, not your voices or your clapping. 55, 56, and 57. 55, you're at the podium. 56 and 57, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Ken Larson from Sagal, Idaho. I'm representing basically myself, my family, and my neighbors who are all in a conveyor neighborhood and a community. I believe what we're facing is an example of the tragedy of the commons, where a natural resource has been privatized for the benefit of a few people, yet potentially large numbers of people are going to be negatively impacted. I'm also a Teamster in the transportation industry, and therefore extremely interested in the whole issue of jobs as well as the people who spoke earlier. What we see, the purpose for us being here is not so much to tell you our opinions or our position, but to ask and guide you in doing environmental impact. And I believe it's important, and you can see from the disparity of comments here today, there's a lot of confusion and misunderstanding. Thus, we need an expanded environmental impact, especially for those along the what we call the conveyor communities that don't seem to be gaining any benefit from this process, from the coal trains. The terminals and the railroad coal trains have been connected from the very first of this discussion, and so I think they need to critically be part of the environmental impact. The costs and risks to each of the communities along the route for accidents and derailments, the environmental risks and potential economic loss to each of those small communities along the route, the value and risk of the quality of life and public safety of the small communities, and the real numbers of jobs. We are not saying there should be fewer jobs. We would like more jobs, but we would like to have the real numbers. So I believe the impact statement should be expanded.
You're listening to a public scoping hearing for an environmental impact statement for a proposed new coal loading facility at Cherry Point, north of Bellingham, Washington. The hearing was recorded at the Spokane County Fairgrounds Tuesday, December 4th, and was put on by the Washington Department of Ecology, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and Whatcom County.
I'm from Spokane, and my name is Todd Ekloff. That's E-K-L-O-F. In 2005, the EPA made a statement that the evidence for a potential cancer hazard to humans resulting from chronic inhalation exposure to diesel emissions is persuasive, which is why it has long considered these emissions a probable carcinogenic. This summer, after conclusive evidence, the EPA, along with the World Health Organization and the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, reclassified diesel engine exhaust as a certain carcinogenic to humans. The Spokane area often experiences air inversion, meaning our warmer air is on top, which acts like a lid, trapping pollutants in the air we breathe near the Earth's surface. Although this is usually worse during winter, just this summer, poor air quality in our community made it unsafe for us to go outdoors because of smoke that came from fires miles away and lingered here for several weeks. Any additional trains coming through Spokane will spew diesel fumes into our air that could also linger for months, gravely threatening our health, as well as the tourist industry that our local economy depends on to the tune of billions of dollars. This is especially true of coal trains because they require multiple engines to push and pull their unusually heavy loads. This means every single coal train could pump the same amount of diesel fumes into our inverted air as 4 to 6 normal trains. So I respectfully ask you, the Army Corps of Engineers, to please consider how you will keep diesel pollution in our air to below EPA and other safety standards, as well as how you might mitigate your responsibility in any of the certain class action lawsuits against those individuals, industries, and agencies responsible for knowingly pumping carcinogens into the air that we must all breathe. Thank you.
Number 57, 58, and 59. 57, you're at the microphone. 58 and 59 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Marianne Eddings, and I live in Spokane, Washington. I hope you can understand me. But I've been outside for a long time today, and I'm also a survivor of throat cancer, which makes it a little difficult for me to talk. I'm asking that you please consider a broad consideration for this and not just limit it to the port, because this will have an impact on the inland northwest and our friends from Idaho and Montana as well. My main concern is the risk of derailment. There was a derailment of a coal train in Baltimore this year that killed 2 people. They were buried in coal. There was a derailment here in Franklin County last July where 31 cars of coal were spilled. If that happened in Spokane, it would pour up, because the trains run above the street, it would be blown all over the downtown area. And there's the vibrations from these heavy trains will actually increase the risk to the infrastructure over downtown. Those are old structures and are at risk of collapse. And that's really all I'm up to saying now. Thank you.
58, 59, and 60. 58, you're at the microphone. 59 and 60, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
Hi,
Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight to this environmental impact statement. My name is Bruce Hunt. I've been a senior planner for the state of Washington and locally for over 20 years now, so I've had a good opportunity to both review and participate in environmental impact statements. What I'd like to speak to tonight is locally and the environmental risks, potential public health and environmental impacts to Spokane County. Here's a fact. Last July, a coal train derailed in Mesa, Washington. That's a small community in southeast Washington. 30 rail cars dumped coal into this community. This is a probable environmental impact. It's something that begs the question, what if that happened in Spokane County? Here's another fact. Right outside this door, a block to the north, is an open pit mine. This mine is approximately 15 acres in size. It's adjacent to the railroad track that will be supporting transit of rail cars full of coal. That 15-acre site is an exposure to Spokane's sole source drinking water, its aquifer. Right outside this door, two blocks to the east, is a 26-acre site. There's another site that's adjacent to the railroad tracks that'll be hauling coal through this community. It's Sullivan and I-90. That site also has approximately 20 acres in size. It's also adjacent to the railroad tracks within 100 feet of the edge of the slope down to the exposed aquifer. So I would like to ask that you consider the proximity to the aquifer and the railroad tracks and the potential impacts that a spill could have on Spokane sole source drinking water. Thank you.
This behind? Okay, good. Quick announcement. All of the additional comment numbers have been handed out. Once we get through these 75, I'm going to take as many as we can before 7. I'm not anticipating it's going to be a lot, maybe 10 if we are really efficient. So most of you who got numbers probably won't get a chance to speak tonight, and I'm sorry about that. We're going to only take as many as we can until 7. And now I'm going to call 59 at the podium, 60 and 61 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Aaron Qualls, and I'm a city council member for the city of Sandpoint, Idaho. I want to thank you for coming this far east to host this public scoping meeting. I would love it if you visited us in Sandpoint, and I'm sure folks from Montana would love a visit as well. There may be some economic benefits to Whatcom County and companies operating out of the Powder River Basin, but at what cost to all the communities along the route? Sandpoint has joined many other cities across the route in adopting a resolution asking that we be included in this scope. Sandpoint in particular may be adversely affected in many ways. We're located, as was pointed out by others, at a major choke point for the railroad lines, also termed the funnel by railroaders. So we have a lot of questions. How many trains would be passing through our town? What traffic impacts would that have? How would it affect emergency vehicle response times? What additional safety risks would there be at rail crossings? How would it affect air quality? And what about water quality? Lake Pendere is a source of potable water for the citizens of Sandpoint and a habitat for threatened species. Is there a greater risk of train derailments from this project? Just in this last year, we've had two derailments in and around the city of Sandpoint. A coal train derailment along the shores of Lake Pendere, of which it would travel approximately 30 miles, looking at current routes, could be devastating. So please consider us as part of this scope. Thank you.
I'd like to introduce Jeannie Summerhays with the Washington State Department of Ecology. And now I'm going to call number 60, 61, and 62. 60, you're at the microphone. 61 and 62, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
Okay, my name is Caden Walksnice. I'm a Northern Cheyenne Tribal member from Lame Deer, Montana. And I'm also a wildland firefighter. And the Northern Cheyenne Reservation was threatened by wildfires. Over half of the reservation was burned, and tribal members were forced to evacuate twice this past fire season. The reason why I bring up wildfires is for the Army Corps of Engineers to study the impacts that the railroad would have in starting fires and to study the what the railroad would have to threaten in the redevelopment stage of the land from the fires that it is in now. Thanks.
61, 62, and 63. 61, you're at the microphone. 62 and 63 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Pete Powell, P-O-W-E-L-L. I'm here today to ask the Corps to consider doing a complete environmental impact statement for this project from the mines literally every inch of the way to the eventual places where it's burned in Asia, be it China or wherever in Asia. I'm a retired Washington State Patrol trooper. I worked my entire career in Spokane County. I've seen many accidents, both derailments and rail crossings. One of my biggest concerns today with this project is the increase of rail traffic is how it's going to affect the risk of accidents, both in crossings and derailments. I just have a real concern with the infrastructure, and I have ever since I became a trooper with the infrastructure, the tracks, the bridges, and so forth at the railroads. I know that they haven't been able to keep up with that, and adding coal trains to this infrastructure I think is going to be a problem, and I think the EIS should definitely study that. My thought on this is that hauling coal to China is wrong on so many levels. But locally, the safety, the traffic safety, and the safety of possible derailments could be catastrophic, and that's something only an environmental impact study here in Spokane can address. So I would ask that is done. Thank you for your time, and I hope that you can do everything that needs to be done to make this safe.
62, 63, and 64. 62, you're at the microphone. 63 and 64 at the table. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Mitchell Smith. I'm with the Southwest County Coalition. The Southwest County Coalition is a diverse alliance of Spokane County families and individuals organized to address public concern. Southwest County Coalition is committed to bringing to light the concerns of our Southwest County neighbors, family, and friends when the actions or inaction of public and private sector individuals adversely affect county residents. We would be coal train losers. Increased coal traffic will adversely affect our Southwest County neighbors and friends. The noise pollution alone will significantly impact those living up to 2 miles from the track. Increased pollution from additional coal train must be substantially addressed to protect those living close to the tracks. The increased railroad traffic will block roads and stifle local commerce as we wait for those trains to pass. Who is responsible when emergency response vehicles do not reach those in dire need of assistance in a timely manner? A couple minutes can make the difference between life or death, or loss of a home. Our sheriff, I just told our sheriff, he's absolutely wrong. We live there. We live with trains. SWCC is extremely concerned of the environmental degradation to our planet's atmosphere, and the cumulative effects that we've just previously discussed must be fully addressed. I am also a proud union member and a member of labor and question the cost versus benefit of the few jobs that will be created from this project. Thank you.
Thank you. 63, 64, and 65. 63, you're at the podium. 64 and 65, you're at the table. Please state your name for the record.
Leslie Adams. The dogmas of the quiet past are inadequate to the stormy present. The occasion is piled high with difficulty, and we must rise with the occasion. As is our cases new, so must we think anew and act anew. We must disenthrall ourselves, and then we shall save our country. Abraham Lincoln spoke those words in an address to Congress in 1862. Today I read those words and think not of a civil war, but of the global challenge of a changing climate. My name is Leslie Adams. I am the Western Regional Coordinator for the Waterkeeper Alliance, which is an international network of water advocates spread across North and South America, Europe, Asia, Australia, and Africa. Here in the Northwest, Lake Pend'Oreille Waterkeeper, Spokane Waterkeeper, North Sound Baykeeper, Puget Sound Keeper, and Columbia Riverkeeper are working conscientiously to defend clean water for this and future generations. And when threatened by this precedent-setting proposal to export U.S. coal, these waterkeepers have risen to the occasion to protect their communities and their waterways from the toxic pollution that spews from coal extraction, transport, and consumption. I highlight a mere few issues tonight to emphasize the need and legal obligation for the Army Corps to analyze thoroughly the impacts of this proposal. Mercury pollution. If corporations export coal to Asia, they are causing air pollution in the western United States. Coal export from the Pacific Northwest has the connected action of importing poisonous air pollution that is deposited into our streams and rivers, toxifying our fish, and threatening the health, vitality, and brain development of our children. The EPA estimates that there's more mercury deposited in this country from outside of our borders than from inside. Because of the geography and wind, the maximum impact from Asia is going to be the northwestern United States. It is absolutely the role of our government, specifically through the National Environmental Policy Act, to disclose all impacts of the exploitative and profiteering shenanigans that corporations propose to force onto the people of this country and the environment that is vital to all. Economics. Energy companies that stand to make obscene profits from exporting Powder River Basin coal to China understandably want to limit the analysis of this proposal by narrowly defining the parameters of this project. While that may make sense for those wanting to squeeze in as much wealth as they can from a dwindling and murderous resource, such narrow analysis is an example of what economists call the tragedy of the commons.
You've been listening to a two-hour block of the public scoping hearing for an environmental impact statement for a proposed new coal loading facility at Cherry Point, north of Bellingham. The hearing was recorded at the Spokane County Fairgrounds Tuesday, December 4th, and was put on by the Washington Department of Ecology, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and Whatcom County. Next Sunday at noon, KRFP will broadcast the rest of the hearing, plus some interviews recorded in the hall outside of the hearing. The three entities are accepting written comments at the email address comments@eisgatewaypacificwa.gov. That's comments@eisgatewaypacificwa.gov. Or by mail to GPT/BNSF Custer Spur EIS Co-Lead Agencies, 1100 112th Avenue Northeast, Suite 400, Bellevue, Washington, 98004. Once again, written comments can be emailed to comments@eisgatewaypacificwa.gov or by mail to GPT/BNSF Custer Spur EIS Co-Lead Agencies, 1100 112th Avenue Northeast, Suite 400, Bellevue, Washington, 98004. In addition, there'll be a public hearing this Wednesday in Vancouver, Washington, and a public hearing in Seattle on Thursday. The Seattle hearing will be held at the Washington State Convention Center, Ballroom 6F, in downtown Seattle. That's from 4 to 7 p.m. Thanks for listening.